Congratulations. You've reached the Talk Radar hotline. We're not on right now, but if you'd like to leave a message, we'll get back to you.
Yeah, hey, Chris, this is Eric, the boss, the man, the schlong. Anyway, I don't know if I forgot to tell you this or not, but yeah, go ahead and keep doing that podcast thing that you kids are doing. Totally not canceled. But if you could, just do me one slight favor and cut down on the references to flaming dog vaginas. All right, love you guys, take care, and you're welcome.
We are renewed! We are back. We live. We live. It's good to be alive, gentlemen.
Yes, it is.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yes, albeit in taking into account a couple notes from the brass in a new and improved form. I've been told I have to play this sound after I say that. And by the way, Talk Radar New and Improved is copyrighted by Future US. Uh-huh. New and improved.
New format.
I'm Christopher, this is Mike Raparez now.
Michael Raparez.
It's Mike. It's
still,
the notes.
No, I fought for that one.
All right, and this is...
I also fought for the right to say the word f*** at least once in every intro.
I don't know.
And you got it.
Yeah.
This is... Sorry, Hank, that's how it is now.
All right. I'm extreme.
And now as our main co-host, we have Kooky the Wacky Gamer.
Hey! Hey, I'm here!
Hi, Kooky.
Hi! You ready to eat your own face?
Okay, so thanks, Kooky. So, what's everybody playing?
No, UFC.
No, we're not going. We're not going to go that route. Nobody cares exactly what we're playing right now. No, we're back. We're going to be exactly the same. But let's just kick off 51 by doing what we do every week, getting into the top seven. What is it?
Top seven religions.
Top seven religions. Religions to set your watch by.
Yeah,
To hang your hat on.
To hang your watch on.
Jedi?
It doesn't really count as a game, really.
No.
It didn't originate in games.
Gotcha. So you're saying VeggieTales isn't canon?
Yeah.
Okay. That was stupid. Jesus.
VeggieTales isn't canon?
That was stupid. Top seven religions. I think they're all great.
All religions are great.
I'd worship all of them in a heartbeat.
Yeah, not one is better than the other. They're all equal, even though we numbered them. And what's number one? What's number seven on the top seven religion list?
It'll be the Church of the Children of Adam.
And can I get a bit of an explanation there?
That is from Fallout 3.
Fallout Triple. Church of the Children of the Adam, I believe a bunch of survivors of the apocalypse who worship a bomb, and this I couldn't find a decent clip from the game that wasn't the city blowing up, so we're gonna have to settle for this Beneath the Planet of the Apes trailer.
Yeah.
In their church, an unspeakable god,
a doomsday bomb.
Thank you, Charlton Heston.
Yeah. that was what one of his eight lines in the movie.
That's right.
Except this cult's church is really sort of a 2 foot deep puddle in the middle of a crater.
Really is a sad religion. Yeah. That's why it's the lowest in the list.
There's like five people that pray to it.
Yeah, you worship something your uncle made. That's ridiculous. I can't think of a more false idol. And he did point out still active in a radioactive weapon. Get the fuck away from that thing.
Well, I would want to worship an active god over an inactive god.
That, Henry, that is probably pretty true. A crucifix had the powers it does against vampires on humans? I would love Catholicism.
okay.
Oh, no.
You pray to Jesus.
Fallout 3. Who's played Fallout Triple?
Who hasn't?
I played here, but I didn't actually... This was the decision I got stuck on. Like, I wasn't ready to destroy the town and for monetary benefit, or I was not
kill several dozen people.
I know, but I was trying to express that last time for gut wrenching decisions. Is that I'm kind of tired of being the namby pamby goody two shoes in games because I always play the good guy. So I'm very slowly flirting with stuff like Mass Effect and being bad.
Well, you can kind of have it both ways. I mean, you can like do all the quests in town to make sure you get everything except the house, and then you blow it up.
You know, I have to weigh all that out.
And
you can
give in, Chris.
Just because some old man halfway across the map doesn't like looking at it from his balcony.
That's the only beautiful scene. Who blew it up? Just out of curiosity. You blew it up?
I didn't.
Shane Patterson did not blow it up.
I did not.
I didn't the first time, and then I blew it up the other day.
You're allowed to do that.
Second time's don't.
I'm really worried about number six in the top
more
seven.
Of a what if?
Top seven religion.
Yeah, who the hell played Breath of Fire 2?
Oh, goodness. Are we going to have to call him?
Did Brett?
I played three. But
I would assume Brett did. It's a Super NES game by Capcom.
Yeah.
I played RPG. Three on the PlayStation.
Highly regarded.
I actually had accidentally typed this out. St. Ava's Fire, which really got St. Elmo's Fire stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably better to talk about. Does anybody remember that movie?
Not really.
No, I remember the song.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the song.
And I'm really.
They were the Brat Pack. I remember that.
Who stole the funny?
From keep me. Drinking.
All right, this is the last episode.
Yeah, maybe this should be the last episode. It was a lot of pressure last week to deliver all that fan service and try and be funny. Yeah. I was up all night writing that stupid dialogue that Paul droned. That is Paul playing a heightened version of himself. And he was trying to not try, and turned out to be impressive. That Paul Ryan's acting in last episode is awesome.
It's so subtle, you'd only get it if you know Paul.
Too true, Matt. Like, I fucking love that. Everybody sent Paulie Ryan a message of congratulations instead of talking to him about St. Ava's Church and Breath of Fire, where I believe the god at the end comes to life and kills you. It's hard for me to understand.
Right.
But this one I saw in... number five, Unitology in Dead Space.
Everyone remembers
Damn
that.
That.
Everybody remembers that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did they figure that much into the actual... Shane, did you see the prequel movie?
Yes, I did. And it's really forgettable.
Okay.
Just like Unitologists.
Yeah.
Just like Unitologists.
There's like a monolith in there, and some praying happened, and a lot of people died in the movie.
I wonder if any of these actually portray a fun religion where nobody dies.
Except that it also Quantum? Makes people receptive to the idea of being turned into horrible space zombie monsters.
That was what they did. They were set to embrace the necromorphs and embrace that as a new evolution that to foretell the coming of the marker?
Yeah. It's convoluted. I played this months ago and I've forgotten everything.
That's the thing. I played it thoroughly, paid attention to a lot of stuff, just kind of skimmed over the notes because that wasn't dismembering things.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that it was there. It let me know that people were populated. Like, I can walk in an abandoned house, so I can see a journal, and without reading it, I look and see there's a journal there. I know it was populated. That tells a story in and of itself.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
There's a whole thing about how one marker is fake and was planted and yada yada. And I don't care.
Yes. I don't remember any of that from the prequel. Remember, there was a shaman and there's a weapon that's not in the game. It like split people in half, and then that's like it.
Well, I'm sure you'll learn more in Dead Space Extraction.
Dead Space Extraction.
Sure you will.
Because all prequels just.
Let's not get into prequels.
I've lost it. I know. I lost that battle only because everybody brought up good game prequels. I will maintain there are no good movie prequels. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever!
The Ring Zero.
I'm really holding myself back on saying anything about Wolverine.
We should have had, like, a night after an all-Wolverine podcast.
Yeah.
Fest.
Yeah.
So we should have recorded
our angry, drunken talking afterwards.
Didn't I warn you?
Although you do have a nice little tidbit about the PS2 Wolverine.
Let's save that.
We're going to get into that later.
Fine.
What? A new game? Thank you, Michael.
Fine.
This is where you're... Hold on, Michael. It's your turn to shine. Number four on the top seven best religions found only on GamesRadar.com. Church of LeChuck from Escape from Monkey Island.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to remember. Was Escape the one that came out on PS2?
Yes,
I think it was.
It's the last Monkey Island game.
I actually played that. LeChuck is an undead ghost zombie demon pirate.
Apparently started in a church by the guy who killed him in the first place.
I've seen him on some other list we did about undead people.
Yeah, I don't really remember the church from Escape from Monkey Island. I remember there was like this whole thing about gentrification and like co-opting piracy as like a thing to draw in tourists. But I don't remember Chuck having a church necessarily.
I agree.
It was probably like a minor thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a minor note. Yeah. Jane! Yeah! This time it's your turn to open your mouth to the heavens. Number three on the top seven best religions.
That's
is
the Resident Evil 4 one.
Resident
yeah.
Evil 4.
Los Illuminados. Illuminados.
They stole my car, I think. Or at least tagged it.
I know Los Locos kick your ass.
Yes!
Los
Fuck,
Locos
I was
kick your face.
Get your balls into
outer space! Yeah.
That there movie, are... Short Circuit 2, I remember it winning an Academy Award for best thing ever.
Also, trivia, first ending song to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The end of Short Circuit 2.
Fascinating.
Resident Evil 4, they were the
Los Illuminados.
Los Illuminados. How important is this?
Pretty important.
Pretty important?
Big the bulk game, of the yeah. game. Yeah.
Tell yeah. me about it. Tell me about it. I remember zombies.
They like to build giant robots that midgets drive.
there is that.
Yeah, you spend a good time in the castle with a lot of these priests.
Uh-huh.
And,
they like chant shit.
Who have this, yeah, the creepiest thing they do, they chant like, Cogedlo, Cogedlo, which means like, grab it.
Yeah, and you don't know where they are. Those fuckers could be down the staircase or behind you.
They kind of want to sacrifice the president's daughter.
Oh, yeah. Anything with the president's daughter just makes me think of like a Van Damme movie.
I would like, if your religion involves, any part of your religion involves needing the currently elected president of the United States, it's stupid.
Look, that game was made to appeal to Americans, and they're like, what do Americans care about?
The president! Yeah. If Michelle Obama figures into my prophecy, I'm quitting the religion.
It's all intended to speak to our, you know, the undercurrent of racism that was running through America at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's we hate Europeans. And the Spanish had just pulled out of Iraq, like a couple years before that, I don't know. So it's all about saving president's virginity from the Spaniards.
That is, that is a crazy manifestation of
exactly.
virginity.
What
tangible virginity is this blonde chick.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the Spanish She's sexuality so was mm-hmm. embodied by that other guy in the game.
Yeah.
The midget?
No, the one who wasn't midget, Spanish, yeah. Krauser.
The marine dude with the knife?
The big guy with the beard.
This
was
is the most...
He was sexually intimidating.
He was.
This is the most...
Huge tentacles.
This is the most detailed route we ever could have taken to getting nowhere.
You're welcome.
Maybe it's time for number three.
Number two was a game I've never heard of.
The Covenant.
Halo, The Covenant.
The Covenant.
Space Muslim.
I don't think anybody knows that game. Yeah, basically.
Yeah. You got it.
Space Muslim.
Well, and number one is...
Now, here's the weird thing that I heard about Covenant, where in two, where you play as the Arbiter, and I think it's the same in three, that even when you're on, like, the Covenant missions as the Arbiter before he turns, like, you still never kill humans in it. Like, you only kill other Covenant. I think that, like, for some reason, they didn't want you to in Halo to optionally kill a human for any story point, which seemed like a weird choice.
But it was a part of the infighting amongst the religion.
That's right.
You actually talk about the main plot of the game.
Yeah, but that's an interesting point. Why is it that you only play through the Covenant's infighting and you don't play as the Covenant killing Marines?
You ever notice only
Muslims killing Christian Marines?
Only stories made
by... I kill Christian Marines all the time.
Only stories produced by the religion ever portray any kind of religion fondly? I know yours is different, listener. Yes. You're not the oppressor. You'll never kill anybody. No one will ever turn against one another. It's all about love. I couldn't help but marvel at the Covenant specifically, because it's such an unflattering portrayal of what it's like to be spiritual in the universe.
Yeah, they really are assholes.
They're total pricks, like just completely tyrannical.
I think the message here is religion makes you worship giant space doomsday devices.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. Wow, I never thought of God as a giant doomsday device. Oh, now I get Star Trek.
Secretly written by Bill Maher.
Meanwhile, the Earth people have obviously given up religion for military.
Yeah.
So they're much safer.
Clearly.
Shit's blowing my mind.
Are you saying we decided to unify instead of turn against one another?
Well, I think like it seems like English is
against the common threat.
I'm just kidding. Everybody needs an institution and a ritual. Why not be religion? Me?
And why not the military?
Me? I'm saying that the key to unification, man, is to stop giving money to churches and start pouring money into a militaristic future
society. Man. Yeah,
we
man.
We also Starship Troopers. It worked out pretty good.
Yeah, keep going to Star Trek conventions every week with your fucking...
Techno-fascism, hooray.
Techno-fascism.
Moving on.
Favorite Kraftwerk song. This one, I was... Even I was a little confused about it because I completely forgot about it. And if anybody remembers it, it'd be very, very helpful. I'm asking everybody.
What do you know? There's a Grand Theft Wiki.
The Epsilon program from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
You know what I remember about San Andreas? I remember completing that game, and I went from this low-level thug into James Bond.
I remember flying over Vegas
up
in a jetpack in a white beater.
I got it. Hoover Dam.
I got it.
No.
Religion in Grand Theft Auto games is a mystery. The five main religions are never mentioned. In fact, the only religion mentioned is the Epsilon program.
Ooh.
The Epsilon program is a fictional religious cult across a number of GTA games led by Chris Formage. The cult first emerged as a teaser site for GTA San Andreas. The cult is an obvious scam, intended to gain money by brainwashing its followers into paying large sums of money. This is similar to real-life cults in the late 20th century.
And there's a couple, I was trying to find audio clips for it, but I could just, some really awful ones of pedestrians you'll encounter that will just speak the word of Epsilon, or what is it, Kiflom?
That sounds like the Scientologist at my part station.
The websites are really funny. The 12 Tenets of Kiflom. The world is 157 years old.
They worship Krant and Kiflom.
The world is 157 years old.
Yeah.
Fact. Dinosaurs are a lie that people believe because they are weak. Fact. You are happy, you just don't know it. Fact. We all come from the same tree. Fact. Everyone is related to everyone else, except for people with red hair. Fact. Sperm does not exist. It is a lie by biology teachers, along with everything else you've ever been told. Fact. Hold on, I'm halfway through. Men are supposed to lie with 9 new partners a week. Women are supposed to lie with 6, except for in July, when they must lie with 5 men a day. Fact.
I wish that was true.
Fact. Aliens exist and are present on Earth. If you have a birthmark, you may be descended from Croft, the famous emperor of the fourth paradigm. Fact. Number 9. Trees talk, but only some people hear them. Fact. People who believe in something live longer than atheists, and then they have eternal life thrown in for good measure. Fact. If you believe this and turn your heads and wallet over to Epsilon, you'll have a happy life. Otherwise, you're doomed. Number 12, Kiflom, happiness is yours. Kiflom. If you didn't know... yeah. And that was the top 7 religions! Wrong button. Yeah, when we get back, we're going to talk about some things that are... Some game news that really, really, really like made me unbelievably mad. Where I, like, embarrassed myself because I, like, made a stand and realized I never do this with anything else, only when it applies to a game. Like, I made a war in Iraq stance. Yeah. And I'm going to do it again because this is what I do, apparently. Shane's going to tell us about a new game that is beyond dispute.
Mm-hmm. Some would say it's undisputed.
Hey, whoa.
I wouldn't,
Henry is going to tell us about the Fantastic Wolverine game nobody's talking about. Michael will probably say the F word.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And we're finally gonna announce the winners to the Goose X Rock Band contest because we are still on the air and exist. But yeah, but we're taking us out real quick. Ted Didlio, sent along a little rap song by Lil Did and MC Shrimp.
You want to talk about our time with Ted?
Ted Didlio, Henry and I finally conquered the Gears of War Horde achievement.
But Brett didn't because he totally missed out on it.
Brett is a space
I wish I could. I wish we had a camera to capture the look on your face after you said
damn it.
I saw it coming.
I knew it couldn't.
God
damn it.
I love that.
But stay tuned. We may tell you how to win some other stuff, and I promise the podcast will get better.
Built in the house, aye. No doubt. Yo, call it, dude. Pop the drinks. Let's do it.
Yeah, what's up, Randall? They do things a little differently. Muscle fucking glass pants, one more ash to company. Granty still rap, I like Horace, Cherish, Shatterson. Denver too wild, and some others kept it past the sun. I love this podcast with my heart, my ground, no cutting, so keep it going, or I swear I'll shit spaghetti on them people.
Safety
I think my boy MC Shramp's got something to say about this. Yeah, spit, Shramp.
Talk Radar in the house with a brand new cast. More stories about get open and what comes out your ass. The Wiki Bars and Brad Elson are the names. There's no talk in the radar, there's no radar in the game. Without this podcast, you would leave me feeling down and blue. So please come check out to stand off every podcast crew.
Don't fade away.
Everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And you're listening to Talk Radar on GamesRadar.com.
Why do trees talk?
Why are there dinosaurs?
Why do people die meaningless deaths?
Is there other life in the universe?
Why do I have to be monogamous?
Do you want answers? Have you searched literature and philosophy for meaning? For years, man has combed the pages of history, searching for enlightenment. Finally, the answers are here. We at the Epsilon Program know religion is a deeply personal experience. Join us, and you will be brought to light. Kiflam. I'm the Honorable Chris Formage. All you have to do is read and understand the Epsilon Tract, and the secrets of the universe will be open to you. The Epsilon Program. This time, God, it's personal.
Rated T for Teen. Finally, a PC game that has great action and positive values. Based on the mega best-selling Left Behind series, Left Behind Eternal Forces. Prayer is essential, and you lose points for violent actions. But there's still plenty of exciting gameplay, and a message that can make a real difference in a young person's life.
Knowing that 93% of the young people are watching video games, I can't think of a better way than to give them an alternative, like the Left Behind video game.
We need to understand that the enemy is bombarding them with really clever stuff.
We've been able to tell the kids what to run from, but never what to run to until now.
This is my time.
Go, go, go! Move, move, move!
This Christmas, don't be left behind. Available now at major retailers and Christian bookstores or online at eternalforces.com.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Hey, everybody, did the news get around about a guy named Butcher Pete? Old Pete just flew into this town and he's chopping up all the women's meat.
He keeps hacking and whacking and smacking.
Hey, calm down. Oh, it's good to be back. We have...
Hello.
Hello. We have great...
Hello.
We have great laughs.
L-A-F-F-S.
Who likes new releases?
Nah, not this week.
A shrinking minority, apparently. new releases, but it has to be said, Battle Station specific. Ads all over...
Finally.
Ads all over our site. I think it's fantastic. Because I need to put food on the table. Someone's got to bring home the facon. And I can't do that unless Battle Station specific, the greatest game of the moment... was advertising on our site. No, I don't know anything about it.
Are you calling it Battle Stations specific?
Specific. Specifically Battle Stations in the Pacific.
I heard that was a game.
Yeah.
I think it involves planes or something.
Yeah. Stations of battle.
I think it involves one of the wars.
I think it involves
a world at war.
Strategic
maybe.
Timing, accurately represented chronology.
I know they've sent us too many screens.
Yes. Oh, look.
Like, weekly.
Only complaint, though. Too many screens.
Yeah. Too many screens. Sacred 2 Fallen Angel finally hits the 360 after 6 months of...
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, how about that?
I heard that was pretty shitty on the PC.
It was, I think you got like a 63, around 63 average.
It's a good score.
It's doing okay on the 360. It's doing a little better. It's got it like a 73.
Oh, okay.
On the Metacritic average last I looked. Shut up, don't correct me. Oh yeah, Brett's not here. Desktop Tower Defense comes home to DS.
I kind of want to get that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a bad fit.
I recently got into tower defense games. I wasn't that into them until I played. First one was Ninja Town on the DS. Awesome game that everybody should get.
Yeah, it's discounted most everywhere. If we had a game deal segment, we'd tell you about it.
But we don't.
But we don't this week. Star Trek, how do you say this? DAC? DAC?
DAC.
You see 360 DLC this week. And best for last, Help Wanted, 50 wacky jobs. Yeah. No, colon, 50 wacky jobs.
Are you a fluffer? Or are you
Hey. Yeah.
Well, yeah, hey. But they want a number in there. It's actually kind of like our features, where it's like they got to have...
I fought against it. And I'll get into that in a bit. But, Henry, you're playing... Is this out already?
Yeah, it's a two-week-old game. But
Wolverine on the PS2.
Okay, so there's good Wolverine, the M-rated, uncaged version that's on the 360 and PS3.
Game, not the movie.
The movie's rated S for shit.
And then there's...
The movie's rated S for shame.
It's rated T for theft, as in your money.
For shame.
You'll hate to see it.
Money, time...
Fucking terrible. And I only preface that with, it wouldn't matter if it didn't have two phenomenal movies. Like, unbelievably good movies. And I just watched X2 again. Unbelievably good movies.
But what you're leaving at here, Chris, is that it has two phenomenal movies and then one shit movie.
Now, me and Shane talked about this morning. Yeah. I would watch X-Men 3.
It's decided that.
No, I would watch... Yeah.
No, it's like Batman and Robin. Batman Forever doesn't seem so bad now, does it?
Yeah. No, same deal with X-Men 3. It's got more characters, better action, and at least it's a boringly professional director over just one who doesn't know what he's doing.
I would watch the action scenes in X-3 over anything in Wolverine.
Well, I think you can, because the movie's 76 minutes long.
I would watch anything in Wolverine over anything in an Uwe Boll movie.
We have to get back to get back into this.
Wolverine, so there's the good Wolverine, uncaged, and then so they could make more money, they had to make T-rated ones for the baby systems.
I didn't even know it was T-rated.
T-rated, yeah. Which I thought meant it would still be the same levels, except, like, their arms would fly off, and there wouldn't be blood everywhere. But, like, I played through the first level, it starts at about the middle of the Wolverine film, where he's hanging out with his dumb girlfriend, and he's doing his stupid lumberjack job.
But the other games all, you get to play out the Vietnam scenario.
It's not Vietnam, it's Africa.
It's Africa. Yeah. Same thing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We saved your ass in Africa.
So the opening thing starts out, in the movie, he just kind of smells that Sabretooth is around and that his girlfriend his girlfriend's in trouble and runs away.
It's played out way more dignified in the movie. Yeah.
But in the game,
Sabretooth's around and he's been eating cabbage.
But in the game he has that kind of moment and he's like, time to go. But obviously in the game you're not just gonna have him running to Sabretooth, he's gotta have obstacles. So several lumberjacks appear and they say, hey, you're making us look bad. We're gonna teach you a lesson. And then Wolverine pops out his claws, and unlike normal people who see a man pop bone claws out, they decide it's time to beat up this guy.
It's time to beat up the mutant.
And so,
beat up a guy whose girlfriend's in distress.
Yeah. And so he stabs the crap out of them pretty bloodlessly because it's T-rated. But anyway, he like kills all these lumberjacks,
all his coworkers,
all his colleagues.
Yeah, whatever the uncaged edition's faults, it doesn't contrive stupid shit like that. There's at least a good reason to be stabbing the people you're stabbing.
Like a rock monster.
Mm-hmm. Monster makes more sense than lumberjacks in this
case.
Lobster?
Yeah.
It's a terrible start.
Rock monster, giant Wendigo creatures.
That's way better than
And then I get to the and then I get to better the first boss movie. Fight against Sabretooth. Just like in the movie, you meet him at that bar. Except at this bar, there's more lumberjacks waiting. One has a shotgun, and they're still looking to teach you a lesson. Anyway, then you fight him, and that fight kind of goes the same way. But then you start fighting on a truck. a moving truck. But, and then it starts these QTE sequences that, like, you can't beat them. Or, like, if you beat them, no, you can't beat them, but if you fail once, it's game over and you start the fight all over again, like over and
that's
over.
Phenomenal.
It's pretty shit.
Yeah, that part of the real game is limited to just fighting Sabretooth in the bar and then fighting him outside the bar. And you can throw each other on the forks of a forklift.
I appreciate you calling it the real game.
Yeah, it is. That's because that's what it is.
I call the other one Wolverine D-Clawed.
Oh, damn!
Should be called Wolverine the Baby Game for Babies. Yeah.
I think it should be exclusive to Sega Pico. That shit. Thank
wow,
you.
Wow, Pico reference.
Yes. I know, Pico reference. You're welcome, person. So I believe Henry's giving Wolverine PS2 his full recommendation.
Yeah.
And I would like to state, no matter what you read in other forums, I am not Sabretooth in that movie.
If you don't have cool parents that will get you the real game, then just steal the real game.
And get better parents.
Yeah. Get better parents. Kill them. You will get new ones.
That's how it works.
You're not going to jail.
Exactly.
Are they going to prosecute a minor?
Exactly. Speaking of games where you beat up people you could never in real life... Chocolate Shane Patterson.
Hi.
Yeah, has played UFC Undisputed.
Yeah, I'm super reviewing UFC Undisputed 2009 or UFC 2009 Undisputed. I should figure that out.
I think it's 2009 Undisputed.
Yeah. By the time you're listening to this, that super review will have gone live, and you'll see that.
I'm only going to say, I'm not a grammar nerd, but UFC Undisputed makes it sound like a boring game where you don't fight anybody.
Yeah. Mm. That's a good point. It's like everyone has already figured out if they're a winner or not.
Undisputed. Okay. So I just
sure. I won't challenge you.
I'll buy this to look at it.
Yep. But you shouldn't. You should buy it to play it because it's great. It's actually a really good game. I love it. Everyone who walks by thinks it's about two sweaty men in a dance of tickles, grappling about.
That's a good point. How much time? What percentage of that game would you say you spend rolling around on the floor hugging another dude?
Actually,
not as much as you'd think.
Well, actually,
then it's not realistic.
Well,
Shane plays more of a stand-up game.
I play Henry as So
can you play as Fred Edish?
If you create him, yes.
By the way, what was the name of the character you created in UFC?
The name of the character I created was Punch Rock Groin.
He's my favorite. He is my favorite.
I thought about Big McLarge Huge, but I liked Punch Rock Groin. For the fans out there,
slab
that
squat thrust.
Big McLarge.
Big slab large.
We're entertaining like four thrust. People. We have to go.
No, really quickly. There's it's an arcade slash sim. Like the more you play, the better you'll get.
So
and
by slash here, you mean like slash fiction?
Wanting to gay it up.
I don't know anything about these games or this martial art, but I do know that the people behind this game are the Yuke's guys who are behind the excellent grapple systems in every wrestling game.
Yeah,
the Yuke's guys did this engine from scratch, so it wasn't like they were porting the SmackDown thing. This is really boring.
Behind that really boring D1 Grand Prix drift racer.
Give it to him, Michael.
Yeah.
You're, take that, Yuke's. Your fault somehow, Shane. That's why I'm directing that comment at you.
What? Fuck, I suck.
I think the grapple system's a little different, though, in UFC. You don't just go from, like, armbar to suplex to DDT in it.
No, because it's a UFC game. It's just kind of like, I push the right stick in, and now I'm holding you close. And then you decide what to do from there. No, I'm more of like a stand-up guy and really just try to punch and kick the shit out of the other guy and knock people down, but...
So when you push this stick in...
Yes.
I got nothing, to be honest.
You gotta penetrate the other guy's defense and really work it in there.
You gotta find your hole and
yeah, you gotta find
your way in there and
yeah, you gotta find the opening.
Well, that's
yeah,
it.
You really
permeate
it. You really go in there. It's a great game, everyone.
Chicken's oil.
Yeah.
Now I'm a big UFC fan until the mouth breathers with daddy issues kind of took over.
No. Are you talking about how I became a fan?
No, but like all the it just
talking
became,
about the fighters or the fans.
Well, yeah. Okay, the new crop of fighters, most of them suck because I actually like the idea of submission, but it's partially UFC knows that they get more fans by having crazy knockouts and having people roll around trying to get submissions. So they do, like, they want their fighters to be more exciting, and they tell them, like, just because you win, but you're not exciting, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get in the title fight or whatever. So
Henry expects a lot from his living mutants.
I liked it. Like, the Japanese one was better. I like Pride because there the fans could appreciate a submission and shit. But the only problem was they did matchups like a Japanese fighter would never fight a Japanese fighter. The Japanese don't want to see them fight each other. They want to see a Japanese fighter probably maybe beat a Brazilian or an American or a Russian.
Xenophobic assholes.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay. But a whole lot shamed the game. Can you?
It's great.
Everybody you talk to who's reviewing it says they liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's you know, I don't want to be stupid, like where the controls are kind of easy to pick up, but it takes a while to master. They're actually a little difficult and a little tricky to get used to, but once you get into them, you actually see yourself improving as a player, and it becomes more fun. You create a character, and you actually, through the career mode, get better. It's a really cool game. Like, the striking game, like, where you just stand up and try to beat the shit out of the other guys is really cool, trying to figure out the blocking.
Good.
It looks really good. The collision detection is amazing in the game. It looks
Their
really
trunks
nice.
Trunks have physics.
The trunks
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it was shocked.
Also, I got an achievement. I got this
I
achievement
it.
for knocking this guy out, but for making his mouthpiece fly over 3 meters.
Away from his face. After Shane hit him.
Yeah, I got 15 or 25 achievements for punching this guy and having his mouth guard just fly out. Anyway, that's not why I like it, but it's part of it.
I thought that was cool, and I can't wait to see that from Shane Patterson, but I would also like to congratulate you on something that's...
Yeah, what'd I do?
Other of a new release.
Something great.
Far Cry 2. Finally patched itself. Shane Patterson, take him out! Ole, 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 ole! We're not getting any pictures. Your mic slammed to the ground.
Woo!
Okay.
It was you. You and Matt did it all.
Oh, yeah.
Shane and Matt Keese went and detailed all these reasons Far Cry 2 was broken. I will say, it's not like we didn't hear from Ubisoft that was kind of mad about it, but it was absolutely true. It was all stuff, what did you say? It was pulled straight from the forum community.
Yeah, pulled, the official Ubisoft Far Cry 2 forums just have hundreds of pages of hundreds and thousands of people just saying, hey, I'm stuck at this percentage. And it's just so many pages of people, like, contributing, not just to one forum thread, but, like, tons, like, new ones created every other day that's like, hey, I'm stuck at this. Also, GameFAQs has a number of those.
You'll find no shortage of people having difficulties progressing through the game because it's essentially broken and needed a patch. And not only did
but
they
to
not
be fair, not
it,
not everyone experienced this. Like Michael didn't experience this.
Not
at all.
Everyone, but compared to the games I've seen as a hardcore gamer and a games journalologist,
yeah.
way more than I've seen in any other game.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
I can't finish this game. I like this game. I would like to finish
there's
it.
There's a large vocal majority of people that could not finish the game. On all three systems, or not all three, PC, PS3, 360.
Well, that's the wild thing about it. Like, usually you hear of this and it's like the PS3 or the 360 one is the bad one, but the problems, different problems on all three. Like, that's just...
Yeah,
it's sad.
And just to say this, like, Matt and I aren't taking credit for this patch coming out because we talk.
I think you should.
Sure.
Yeah, think about it.
Just to be like weirdly serious for a second. No. Like, if you read the article, that they had been working on the patch since like March. I mean, obviously for a while, but since January, the community leaders have been talking about it in the forums on behalf of Ubisoft. But it was just until the other day where they said, hey, we're done and it's out now. We're not going to give any sort of official announcement. We're just going to post it in our forums. There's no press release that says we're patching in a 8-year-old or 8-month-old game. It's out. So it's just out. Yeah, just play it.
I want to give Ubisoft all the credit in the world because I've really liked their last 2 years of holiday releases, like everything they put out.
Yeah.
But the DLC for Prince of Persia hit within...
Ready to download the ending?
A week? Two weeks?
I just played
8 months to fix a game that's broken?
I mean, to give them all the credit in the world, they did release like 8 games within 2 months.
I hate that they do that. But every one of their games, I thought, because they, Ubisoft, they develop some of the worst shit that's in, probably
a
threat to gaming.
They're the heads of the pets.
But that's the thing, they have the safe pet stuff, and then they take the big chances with the Far Cries and the Prince of Persias, and they're bringing out a Beyond Good Beyond Good and Evil 2 sequel, which
is I Am Alive. Don't forget that.
I Am Alive, which is all this stuff is kind of like
Assassin's Creed.
You should
2?
Look at that and not do that, and they're going to do it anyway, and it's going to be
probably going to be
a good game
in 2 months.
Within 2 months of each other, just space it out.
Space it out. I just wanted to say that I was very proud. If you can go look that up, Far Cry 2, what was it? What was it called in the headline?
Far Cry 2 is still a broken game.
Far Cry 2 is still a broken game. It really got people mad, man.
And very well sourced, you guys.
Very well
really
sourced.
Good job. Yeah. You guys did your homework.
All based on fact. Hey.
This is all part of a service GamesRadar.com does, the gaming community. Michael Raparez had a little part in what I call the Duke Nukem 3D Realm support group. Just by pouring the tiniest bit of salt into the open wound, the 3D Realms coffin, by putting together the list of the trailers of Duke Nukem throughout the years.
All four of them.
All
12
them.
Years of work.
Four.
In case you didn't know, 3D Realms died this week.
3D Realms, and I went and looked at their website, and I wanted to see, well, this is a well-designed website. I'm looking at your offices. They're very nice offices. What do you guys do? Like, and I went, like, hey, let me go click on the store. 96% of what they sold in that store is only available on floppy disk. Like what the fuck have you put out? What have you put out? Go there and look. It's hysterical. Pray. That was available on Windows CD. And then there was other games that were available on, and I quote, CD-ROM. And then beyond that, a overwhelming majority is available on floppy disk. And I like the fact that they're still selling boxed copies of old-ass games.
For but Windows 95.
I'm looking at two of computers that I work with every day, and neither has a floppy disk drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put up Duke Nukem and Life in trailers. And yeah, I'd just like to point out, four trailers in the same amount of time it would take most studios to put out at least four games.
Four games.
At least, that's
Because 3D Realms is notorious that what they did is, like, every time a new engine would come out, they'd be like, oh man, we have to take advantage of that. So they'd completely scrap whatever they were working on. Rebuild the game around the new engine, then a newer engine would come out, and they're like, oh shit, we gotta use that, and they'd repeat the process.
I understand if younger gamers don't care about Duke Nukem, but it was a great character, the level design, and the level creator in the 3D one was really amazingly cool.
3D one came out, what, in 94?
94, but
it's
I'm
like
just
15 years
trying
old
to trying to tell it why we care. Why we care about it. I can easily see why you see, well, this is just Dolph Lundgren mating with Kurt Russell in a John Carpenter film. Why should I give a shit? I can see this anywhere. For a time, it was fantastic. We're absolutely fascinated by this. And I was just reading conflicting reports of... Okay, first of all, I want to start a conspiracy, because apparently, like, a SaveDukeNukem.com was reserved 2 days before the studio closed.
Well, it was the day before the closure was announced.
I said I wanted to start a conspiracy.
Yeah, but...
I stated it with that.
So Duke still Nukem Forever is still alive, then?
No, I'm not saying it's still alive, but there were a lot of things, like, you're saying they were working forever on it. And then certain people would say, like, this is what it's like to work for a privately held company, where they'd bring a year's worth of work to the guys and be like, well, we're not... They're the highest people, they're real gamers... Fuck this! This isn't good enough. Send it back. Do it over. And that's what a couple of blog posts reported.
Yeah, the most interesting stuff, if you've been reading like Shack News or anything this week, are just the various like personal websites of people who worked at 3D Realms like leaking.
They are the ones leaking all of these screenshots and trailers.
Yeah, and the gameplay footage was leaked by one of, I guess, the animation directors or whatever, and it looks like his personal reel. It was like, this is what I did on this game.
Yeah,
because it has his contact
really,
info.
Really, really polished.
Yeah, and it has his contact info.
You're right, it does look like something he'd give to an employer.
Yeah, and one, you know, it's set to music like a demo reel would be. And one site, I think, I know IGN has this, but they even posted the entire plot, like in spreadsheet form, like how you progress, like the story points by that. But yeah, one of the devs even posted on, Something Awful just about how their workflow was. They, worked on something continuously. They presented it and were like, No, go back and fix that. And he was, like, a year later still working on the same thing.
As much crap as they... I think they said they were assigned specific maps or levels.
Yeah.
And they would be told a year later, like, no, not good enough, do it over. And we give crap to EA and UB and Activision for meeting annual release dates. That kind of shit would never happen over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, not even at Valve. Like, how Valve has, like, some of the best, like, independent studios.
But then there were,
like,
also conflicting reports of people who, like, this game, they didn't start it until 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that, what I got out of that was not so much they didn't start it as it was a huge mess. Most of the people on staff have only been on for 2 or 3 years. And we've been working for 3 years to try and make this shitty mess into a good game.
I can't imagine.
That kind of cottons with what Michael was talking about, how they just reset it every engine.
Rather than just putting the game out there and going to work on a new game,
yeah,
they're like, no, yeah, we need this to be cutting edge, bleeding edge.
Perfect.
They could have
perfect.
Already put out Duke Nukem 6.
You wonder why my articles are bad, because I divorce myself around the deadline time. This can't be great. It just has to be.
Chris Hansista forever.
Chris Hansista divorce.
Oh, yeah, that is a poster I want someone to make in the forum threads.
Oh, no.
Chris Hansista forever.
I'm sure by the time somebody hears me say this, it'll have been done.
We do have an official art thread, but that stupid, stupid thing, only me bringing up my horrible, horrible articles. I do implore you to go check out why the podcast is light on audio material this week. It's because I was working on a feature that was, I want to say, one of the first completely inspired by the podcast.
Yeah.
Because
it's audio-based.
When Brett and I find, or all of us, when we find some audio that piques our interest, usually it's like, oh, this audio completely ripped this off. You've heard us go through the Earthbound stuff. I'm not going to do that again. You've heard us go through, who remembers Roborole? We closed out a podcast with Roborole. What do you want to hear first? Real or Robo?
I like Robo.
Here's Robo. What does this sound like?
Oh,
that's that YouTube song.
Don't you feel stupid? You just got Robo rolled.
Now, which one is this? Is this the video game song or is this?
It's actually like when
I think this is the Super Mario Brothers theme.
Oh yeah,
when they play seamlessly like that, it was actually. Kind
I
of
really
hard
liked
for me
that.
To
I think that's a good song anyway. I wish it isn't like you can't just enjoy that song now.
No,
I'm
telling you, Henry, it was unbelievably bizarre in 2008 to be playing Chrono Trigger and what the fuck is this? Like that song kicks in. I'm sorry, I've been Rickrolled too many fucking times. It was very.
You got Squeenix rolled.
I got Squonix rolled.
Bam!
We all got Squonix rolled this week. I'll get into that later. Stolen soundtracks. That's what we're kind of last minute. Calculated headline.
We've had many meetings about it.
The soundtracks you didn't know were stolen. And I only want to run through this briefly because if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, you've heard any and all of these revelations before.
And you should have been listening for a while.
You should have been listening for a while.
What is wrong with you listeners who haven't been?
Yeah, one of my favorites was, and it never ceases to astound me how obsessed with Sonic the Brits are, that they've done documentaries and pulled this out, that essentially Michael Jackson was supposed to compose the Sonic 3 soundtrack.
Or that he started on it.
Say in the article, but just because it makes it a less interesting article, here's the reality. Michael Jackson hasn't ever written his own music. The people who did write the Sonic 3 soundtrack and are credited. But basically, they want, you know, of course, Sega wanted Michael Jackson's name. Michael Jackson presents Sonic 3 soundtrack.
But what happened?
He got caught with an appendage in a child. And he was removed. His name was removed from the project, and they said, "We've stripped his music entirely." And I love that
they stripped me naked, and they took pictures of my penis.
They took pictures of my bus sack.
I was humiliated.
This one gets particularly technical because it's a chord progression that's similar. But like I heard it after listening to it over and over again. Sonic 3 has some of my favorite music. Period. Ever. Anybody else? No one loves the Sonic 3 music?
I'm a Sonic 2 guy.
Some of it. Yeah.
Well, I love the game Sonic 2. I think Sonic 3 is an almost unplayable game, product of its time.
I think you can eat it.
The music is fantastic. And this is part of the reason why. Here's Ice Cap Zone. We played this before. People noticed the chord progression was similar to Michael Jackson's song, written around the same time. Who is it? Does everybody know who is it?
Man in the Mirror. Bad.
Yeah, but this is the weird thing, is that people combined, like, decided to speed up Michael Jackson songs, see how well they fit over Sonic songs. This is Q Jimbo's Who Is It versus Ice Cap Zone. Jackson. It mixes up almost exactly, and this is one of the more just, I love the Sonic 3 end credits. Now, in your brain, take out the, like the frantic, the frantic notes. This is Michael Jackson's Stranger in Moscow, released a few, like 2 years later.
See a stranger in Moscow.
I love it. But if you know, let's pick up the fucking pace. Alice in Chains, Doom. Doom apparently lovingly rips off all mid-90s metal. Slayer, Metallica,
yes.
Pantera. I've never heard of them. No one laughed.
We're laughing.
No, that's okay.
We're laughing.
Get myself one of those.
Yeah, it really wasn't that fun.
Alice in Chains. Alice in Chains. Here, let's listen to Alice in Chains first. Them Bones. Who knows Them Bones? Now that we've gotten that angst out of our system,
it's gone.
Let's move on to VH1 classic, I mean Doom soundtrack.
I don't hear this anymore. Wow.
Nothing? Nothing?
Is this seriously in Doom?
This is Doom. Map 23, Barrels of Fun. And two more before we head out of here. Henry said, I asked Henry before we recorded, he said this is the weakest. I disagree, especially because the naming conventions. We listed in the article. Like, clearly someone's a fan of Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And here is My Michelle, one of my favorite Guns N' Roses songs. I think it's off Appetite for Destruction. And here is Mega Man X3 Neon Tiger stage.
Wow.
And keep in mind, I follow that in the article where every boss in X5 is named clearly.
Yeah.
Risley / Axel the Red.
I'm kind of fixated on Duff McWhalen.
Duff McWhalen. Yes. The giveaways are Duff McWhalen, and especially Squid Adler. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what an Adler is other than a member of Guns N' Roses. And just as a reversal to show a little bit of comeuppance, I had to throw in Muse, a band I love. We've closed out the podcast with them before. Bliss. And the lead singer, Matthew Bellamy, said that was his favorite song off of the album. He said, I ripped this off of children's programs I watched when I was a kid. And I'm like, you're wrong, dipshit. Admit that you play video games, especially one huge in England, Top Gear by Kemco.
Damn.
Wow, yeah, that is. Yes.
Damn.
And that's all I have to say about that. We can move on. Hey, speaking of me,
which we weren't.
stop it. I am important. I have decided I play games very late. Do I not?
Yeah.
I do try and play everything.
Yeah, you do.
And I think it's time we started a segment called Chris is Irrelevant in Antiquated Game Reviews. So if you don't mind, I think it's time we got my Guitar Hero Aerosmith review out of the way.
Get it out of the way.
Hold on, I built an intro for this.
Yeah?
That's That's outdated music, too.
But it's for my gamers.
I'm listening to it.
It's going to be really good. Like, it's... Did I say it was about a Guitar Hero Aerosmith?
It's building up.
I can't take the tension.
Yes. Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah. Feel it.
So glad I finally get to get this off my chest.
HBO. Aerosmith.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for Chris Antista's definitive, relevant, antiquated review of Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
Oh, it's coming now!
Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
Yeah?
Okay.
That is way too much Aerosmith. Moving on. Moving on. I love that this week, a LinkedIn, we've seen Twitter and MySpace and Facebook leak game information.
Yeah.
A LinkedIn post, from some up and comer revealed Call of Duty 7.
Inadvertently. Yeah.
Inadvertently. Not only Call of Duty 7, but who's making it?
Oh, Treyarch. Obviously.
Treyarch.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is kind of obvious at this point.
The world continues turning.
Yeah, I know, but it was...
Every other year!
I'm sorry. I did not mean to bring up the best-selling game.
War at World.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is basically 6. Isn't it?
It is.
Yep.
Yeah.
But just so you know, a little inside information, stuff like that, they're pretty adamant about you not calling them by a number like that.
Well, that's kind of, especially with Activision, they hate things being numbered more than 3. Like, Guitar Hero World Tour was not 4. Like,
Tyler Wilde has an article about that, because we basically discuss Western developers hate going over 4. Japanese don't give a fuck.
No.
And never will.
Well, it's like two different ideas.
I yelled about it, and Eric said, well, I think the belief is that the number alienates people who hadn't played the one before that. So if you just title it something different, they feel like, pick up and play it anywhere in the series.
Yeah.
Well, Japanese developers are like, how many more Dynasty Warriors games can we squeeze into a single year?
How many Metal Slugs? Well, how many King of Fighters?
Well, I think also it's like Americans want something new while Japanese want something established.
Henry, that is brilliant. If we didn't use funny quotes of the week, that would be it.
Give him a sound effect. Give him some.
What do you want, Henry?
He deserved it.
Henry... Mother, Robin Gilbert.
Yep.
Stolen.
You're like
as smart as a dolphin.
Hold on, I'll give you this one. No. No.
I'm pretty smug about it.
I have one last thing we can get into, unless anybody else has something to bring up.
There was this story on GameSpot you might want to pull up. It's about, like, another Twitter break. This guy basically breaks down what he says is going to be the entire E3 Microsoft press conference, which sounds pretty believable.
Well, good God, it'd be a shame if we didn't announce this, basically because I won't be at E3 to see Microsoft's...
Yeah, it's just going to be me and Brett.
Oh, you're coming a little later.
Press conference. I am. I will not be there. Some new guy. According to a truncated 140-character limited post, Microsoft will use its E3 press gathering, which starts at 10:30 a.m. Pacific on June 1st, to unveil the following. The all-but-confirmed 360 motion control titled Xbox Fluid. Metal Gear Solid 4 plus Oxide, the long-rumored 360 port. Top-secret Konami exclusive for the 360. Nobody outside of Konami has been told what this is. I'm guessing Psychonauts.
Zone of Enders.
The second 360 exclusive, Grand Theft Auto 4, the next DLC tale.
We kind of know about that.
Yeah.
We know what we don't know what it is, and we don't know that it's being announced.
We know it's coming.
I can't because I know last year Rockstar did not participate in E3, so I can't. I hope they have some showing at this E3.
Well, no, they never participate in E3.
In general?
No, in general they don't. They don't participate in E3 at all, but that doesn't mean they won't, you know, announce things of theirs at the big 3 press conference.
I hope so, because I like Red Dead Revolver.
Looks cool.
We know for sure.
I like Red Dead Revolver. I know, but I want to see
Red
more.
Red Dead Redemption.
I want to see, just saying.
Well, you won't. Because you suck.
Jesus Christ. Michael, leave. Stand in the corner. No. I'm going to talk about Forza Motorsport 3.
Please don't.
Goody.
Which is apparently also going to be...
No one gives a shit. Moves on.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It gets way more interesting the further down you go.
Yeah?
Oh, my gosh. Metal Gear iPhone. Moving on.
Anyway,
moving on to the story I am angry, the most angry about this week. Square Enix delivers fan-made Chrono Trigger Project a cease and desist notice.
They were 98%
complete. 98%
complete.
And there was some speculation.
Fan-made sequel.
Like, they had been updating people for years that this was coming. And it was kind of like, not only can you not post it, take everything down relating to it.
And destroy all your work.
And destroy all your work. So basically, the fan-made project, Chrono Trigger Crimson Echoes, the only remnant you'll find of it is a YouTube trailer. And to about a billion, like, 70% of it, of us, it'll look just like Chrono Trigger. It's attack sprites from the SNES. But I'm fucking livid about this.
It's sad.
It seems very archaic. And I know, because having dealt with it, I know Japanese people are very serious about their properties.
They need to lighten up.
Yeah, but at the same time, they have the whole doujin market.
What's that?
The fan-made comics that people sell. Parodies, in quotes, of existing comics.
It doesn't, parody is they have bigger tits.
It just doesn't matter to me because there's no reason to do this outside of a blanket effort to make money off of Chrono Trigger, which they've seen fit in the span of 15 years to make two games out of.
Yeah.
Thank you. You've done a great job.
Two games and a couple remakes.
A couple verbatim, exactly the same remakes.
And then they get to torture the fans by, like, trademarking Chrono Break or Chrono.
Yeah.
Other thing like, maybe, why are we trademarking it?
How much would it cost to just randomly trademark Chrono followed by a noun? It's like 12 times.
How about Chrono Infinity?
It's a good thing they're punishing the fans that are paying it the highest honor.
How about other shapes? About Chrono Trapezoid?
I'm glad this isn't being met with any kind of argument, just because I thought, well, they have every right to.
Them.
These characters mean things to people, and you don't really seem to care about that, other than that people will pay to see them again old.
There's another difference with American and Japanese, like with Valve, people mod their games and they hire them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've had to explain that to people. Like, that's fucking love. And this wasn't... Nobody's going to see this on the internet. Oh, Chrono Trigger Crimson Echoes. I don't need to go get the Nintendo DS version because I see Chrono...
And relatively few people are going to say, oh, Chrono Trigger Crimson Echoes.
Exactly.
This must be made by Square Enix.
Exactly.
I'm confusing it with an existing product.
Exactly. This is a project made... by fans, for fucking fans. Nobody but
buy it in the store.
Extremely, extremely excited people over your property that you don't really care enough about to keep going with would care about this, and they'll keep buying anything. I'm so absolutely mad. It didn't just affect this project; it affected other ROM hack. ROM hack, has a pejorative connotation, but it is what it is. People hacking sprites.
Yeah.
And creating their own project. That shit is beautiful and shouldn't be stopped and shouldn't be given cease and desist orders.
And also we need to bring up a few years ago where they gave a cease and desist to the people remaking Chrono Trigger in 3D. That was another one.
Yeah, they did. I remember that. Yeah.
You notice, like, Nintendo, lawsuit happy all the time.
Yeah.
Isn't stopping people from remaking Metroid, old Metroids.
I hadn't heard about that.
You haven't heard of the Metroid Game Boy remake?
Well,
it exists.
Okay.
Things are happening. Things are happening on the internet.
I've heard of that, actually.
Just absolutely livid about it. Who is the worst in terms of fandom lawsuits and this and that? And I thought of George Lucas. Encourages people to make things with lightsabers and whips.
Yeah. Even judges those fucking short films.
He published a fan made it a complete fan remake of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. He distributed it. He showed it.
He distributed George Lucas in love too, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Completely in support of it. George Lucas is our Darth Vader, our Sith Lord over copyright.
He doesn't care.
And he not even doesn't care, but there's a fucking benefit here, and there's way more of a benefit than the people they've hurt by exercising the cease and desist. And I can't ever say you should boycott anything. And what this is about to me, I think. People should stay away I hope somebody else institutes this. Stay away from buying any official Square Enix merchandise for a month. I think they should be absolutely punished until they relinquish the cease and desist order. Seriously, like
yeah. It should be absolutely punished until their next game comes out.
No, I'm not saying punish the games. The games are what it's about. The games are these things are based off of.
Buy only Hong Kong bootlegs.
I'll get fired if I say don't buy a game. No, I'm saying I know. I'm just pretty much.
You're saying don't buy the Cloud Strife replica swords or the mana potions.
This isn't a religion, but if Gutenberg, who made the fucking Bible, started suing Latinos for painting Jesus and Virgin Mary on the cover of the car, like that's insane. And I mean, I can get all Fox News and like, what's next? Cosplay tattoos? Nah, you're gonna sue all those people? But it's kind of true, and it's utterly ridiculous. And we are going to go into break, after which we'll announce the winners of the Goose X contest, which was kind of all of us, and announce our new question of the week. But I'm going to play this because it reminded me of it so much, and it hurts, and it's harsh, and it's about how Sega threatened YTMND with a lawsuit for using Sega properties.
I remember that.
Yep.
About 2 years ago, DZK made a rap about this is absolute idiocy. And they posted it, they publicized it, and I'm encouraging you guys to go out there and support, to let your anger be known and to support these things. Dig the stuff, sign the petitions, let Square Enix know this is absolute fucking bullshit to throw the cease and desist at Crimson Echoes. But this really reminded me of that, of this makes your, even if they're making fun of it, it's because they love it, and it continues to keep it relevant.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not. And Sega backed off, not because of this rap, of course, but as a result of the same fan reaction. And obviously, you can go to YTMND and see Sonic Says any day of your life, because people supported it, and it pretty much replaced Sega with Square Enix. And you know what? Why not Sonic with Cloud? No, Squall. I don't like him. Squall.
Who gives a shit?
Well, it's a sad day for YTMND. Max got a letter from Sega, and they said he has to remove all the Sonic the Hedgehog sites, you know? Because Sega feels that consumers are fucking retarded or something. And, like, they might be confusing the YTMNDs with, like, real Sega messages and shit. So, yeah, they asked him to, remove the fucking sites or face legal action in 7 days. They'll take control of YTMND forever and shit. I felt this deserved an appropriate response.
Dear Brett Farrell, legal department, Sega, Europe, what the fuck, you retarded? First off, smarty, you're late to the party, and no one thinks we're related even hardly. Cause number one, we're in a different country. Number two, Sega never made nothing funny. And number three, then this ain't debatable. No one at Sega has ever been creative, dude. Are you serious, the hedgehog, son? Sonic ain't been hot since Mortal Kombat 1. And I'm not getting it, maybe I'm an idiot, but what? Is the UK still playing Genesis? The hog had it. Spotlight, now he's done. Y'all the only one selling power gloves still. Now what's up? Y'all got your panties loaded, cause some jokes got written about your pansy rodent. So you fancy homo, send a letter annoyed with the fact that your faggy cartoon's been exploited. Newsflash genius, the only reason Sonic ain't a ghost now is cause we keep it breathing. Pull the website, you're pulling your franchise out the public eye, and you're taking an anti-freedom of speech stance, which does make me laugh cause your game's full of fucking rape scenes.
I mean, y'all saw the Sonic animals fucking, right? I mean, they were fucking, all right? The jewelry-loving male animals who dropped their golden rings, which happened to explode into the gayest fucking sparkly fireworks you've fucking ever seen. And they're worried about YTMND. Fucking out of your mind.
Y'all keep investing on some ring collectors, be ingesting freaks with a deep selection of sidekicks. Names so homoerotic, Knuckles, Tails, Cream, please come off it. Jesus, what the fuck were you thinking? Why not name a masturbation ass semen? Please believe this, YTMND is not your biggest problem. I think the Japanese men who make your video game may be wrong in the head ever
sense we had dropped the bomb, as illustrated by your visual storms of furry animal rape and gay tentacle porn. And the rainbow floors on your maps for sure suggest Sonic and Tails, maybe friends, maybe more. An email half sure of how he's leaning is one Sonic level from a ballerina. There's so much spinning, must be male gymnasts. I saw the Olympics, they all got Olympus, and this is his partner, the acrobat. That's like having a motherfucking tag on your ass that says entrance, not exit. If you wanna sex this, all you gotta do is have a dick and a fetish for rings. Just bring your thing, come get it. And that's what everybody thought, I'm just the one that said it.
I mean, fucking Sega. You didn't hear fucking Star Fox complaining when about the barrel roll. Oh god, they're using our barrel roll. Oh god, they're making fucked up jokes about the barrel roll. Fucking Sega, dude. They must need money bad. Christ.
Do you worry that nobody likes you? We'll provide you with friends. Kiflam. I'm the Honorable Chris Formage. Covet your neighbor's ass no longer. The Epsilon program seeks out the convenient bits from every faith to create a religion that is uniquely American. Fact. Expensive, promiscuous, and entirely meaningless. Fact. And unlike other major religions, we only tithe 8.75%. That means less for God and more for you. All you have to do is read and understand the Epsilon Tract, and the secrets of the universe will be open to you. Just call 1-866-FUN-CULT.
Hey, does anybody want to listen to the rest of this motherfucking podcast?
Yeah!
Shane Patterson, kick it off with something special.
Hey, my name is Shane Patterson, and I'm feeling good.
Sure, why not? Why not? Still, I'm trying to get over the Chrono Trigger stuff. I just imagine, like,
some, it's bullshit.
Some sycophantic lawyer. These guys were trying to make this game, and I told them to stop. And you, right?
The lawyer's the guy stuck in between because someone came from.
I like to imagine that they waited a whole year just to watch him work on it more, knowing they were going to kill it.
That's speculation, just so they didn't look like complete dicks. Take out every single piece of the ROM, piece of our game.
Yeah.
No, let's wait until it's right about done.
Still, they wasted more time and money.
Yeah, right when we see it's going to be done. Because otherwise, it's just a project that could never happen.
Yeah.
And looks like our character.
Does Nintendo stop? Like, I know Mother 3 was translated. That was an ongoing project that was huge. But that was released, and, like, they didn't do shit.
Nintendo couldn't care
less.
I would give
Nintendo credit for, like, not caring about that. But I really think it's more of them not knowing what the hell is going on the internet.
Well, it's obvious they don't know what the internet is. If you play
the internet
Wii.
Is.
How did Earthbound sell? Does anybody know?
Not well.
Yeah, no. I remember it seems to have a pretty devoted following in the U.S. But
it's a beautiful game to go play. It's a complete parody of, like, Western culture. It's obviously only going to resonate with a very small sect of gamers.
Well, the thing is, like, Nintendo is run by Japan, and they...
Let's put it this way. NES is in every Smash Brothers game, and in the last Smash Brothers game, they had the demos, the masterpieces.
Yeah.
Earthbound is in the Japanese masterpieces, not NARS.
Well, also, it's a weird thing that, like, Marth, like, they put in Fire Emblem people, and Fire Emblem never came out in America before. And then they're like, oh, everybody loves Marth. Hey, let's give Fire Emblem a try. And, you know, it's been good ever since.
Tactical RPG. Yeah, it worked.
Speaking of nothing in particular, that is Elvis Costello's Radio Radio.
That song.
DLC. I love that fucking song. Yeah. DLC on Rock Band this week. Very lucky because the replacements for Rock Band had been delayed. You would have been hearing Kids Won't Listen. But you also got Steely Dan, Black Friday, My Old School, Disturbed, Stupefy, Stricken, Social Distortion, Bad Luck, Story of My Life, Ring of Fire. None of those are bad songs, but none of them are replacements in Elvis Costello. Bam! You know what this is, Henry?
What is it?
It's the community segment.
Woo!
That's a really good sound. I don't even need a cue for that.
Say something wacky, kooky.
Oh man, this shit is off the hook, off the chain.
That's not,
and in your hearts,
kooky doesn't talk like that.
Hey,
there you go.
Off the hook, off the chain, and in your hearts,
Stanley Spadowski.
Stanley Spadowski, you get to drink from the water hose.
My mom.
Wow, did Michael Richards suddenly wander into the room?
Oh, man. Perennial racist, Michael Richards has joined us, everyone.
Oh, that's how you don't deal with hecklers.
So the community segment, huh?
Community segment. We're going to, I guess we should kick this off by announcing the, where any of my buttons aren't even.
Everyone's a winner!
Everyone is a winner with the GamesRadar GooseX.com contest, because if you go to GooseX.com, sign up for an account, you basically get four free trades. It really, like, if you trade in your game, that's four free games.
Which podcast did we try to figure out the value of that?
All right, all right. That was all edited out. No. It came out very seamless. Yeah, if you go to GooseX.com, put in GamesRadar for the coupon code, you will get four free trades at GooseX.com. But these are the winners. We were giving away, GooseX and GamesRadar were giving away Rock Band 2 on the platform of your choice. And two second prize winners, two boosted GooseX accounts with basically $50 of free trades for whatever you want. And these awesome. Are platforms that existed far beyond your 360s and the PS3s. They go back all the way back to your NES and your Atari's.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, your Atari's. Who do you think the second prize winners are? You're wrong! Henry, the second prize winners of the GooseX.com contest are Most Tasteless for his Mortal Kombat and Boomer. Also, one of my favorite promo dudes from last week, A for Extreme. Hey, buddy, you're the grand prize winner of the second not grand prize.
Yeah.
all the Sega stuff you did, which apparently hit the hearts of the judges, Pokemon, and especially Beautiful Joe. The winner.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Whatever happened to that kid?
Dead.
He'll be back. The winner of the GooseX.com contest, winner of Rock Band 2 on his platform of choice, his or her, it's a he. Come on. Who are you kidding?
We don't read us.
Schultz! We asked you to Photoshop the GooseX.com dinosaur, which we named Tofu. I don't believe that's his real name. But
Skippy.
One of our favorites was Schultz. Schultz put his face and unhinged his jaw and removed it for the tank from Left 4 Dead, and put him as the mast on the boat from Wind Waker. Which is absolutely phenomenal. In creativity and execution, Schultz, we have no problem saying you're the grand prize wiener. We will have more contests to announce very soon. In case you're just listening, in case 51... is your giant cherry pop. Here's a napkin. Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Shane. Your giant cherry pop. Every week we pose a question of the week to ourselves and our readers. And this week was no exception. Why would it be? We pose a question of the week. And last week's question 34, I believe. Question 34 was, what's your biggest non-gaming interest? I believe Shane said cockfighting.
Cockfighting.
He wasn't here.
Swords.
Michael said comics. Brett said comics. I said, strangely enough, cartoons.
I would
Henry,
have
you're probably
comics. Yeah.
A lot of interesting responses, because a lot of people were into comics as well. I had no idea the demographic crossed over in such a way. No, that's not true. Because a couple of my favorites, existing favorites from members of our forums, Bar One Scorpio draws webcomics and is working on one, much like our friend Charlie Gavin, who designed the pano.
Yeah, that was
the front page, the front page gig, the front page picture for Talk Radar 50. He's he works on Silver Age comic.com. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
And go to SilverAgeComic.com. There's actually comics about Talk Radar. Charlie is the one who does them. Just a couple weird Metal Gear Flaccid, non-gaming hobby. He's an adult. He admits this.
Underwater basket weaving.
Soccer.
Shane was closest to Bionicles. Bionicles. He says he's
not
still,
just Lego.
He still, as an adult, buys about four sets a year. This is a definite reason to go into the forums. Squidhead 442 said, "Let's just say three letters plural. Three letters.
Dogs. Flex dogs."
Keep going.
Cat.
Keep going. I'm thinking the same thing. Consonant, vowel consonant.
AT-AT.
No. It turns out it's guns.
Oh.
Guns.
Cool. Not nerdy. Yeah.
It's guns.
Nerd!
It's guns. And not only does he like guns, but he embedded a Flash program he made for college about guns.
Creepy.
Shut up.
Well, does he enjoy polishing his guns?
He says he only, well, he says in his post that he only polishes his guns around minorities.
Okay.
No, he doesn't say that at all. He doesn't say that at all. But, new users who signed in to, answer last week's question, question 34, massive erection.
Yeah.
Capital E, lowercase M. he does lacrosse, paintball, and hockey. Star Platinum, menstrual blood magic. He likes strong and drinking. Tyler Wilde loves you. Spit 74, X-ray bound. My absolute favorite of the new users, somebody named Al Jolson signed up for a one-word response to Mary. What's your biggest non-gaming interest? Blackface. Al Jolson, if you can please respond to that in any question
ever.
It's
a dying art, blackface.
Electric mangina, pasty Caucasian, keyboard cat, Mr. Clark, I choose Antistamon. Thank you. G.I. Joe 01, Glass Pants, Just Insane.
Wow.
Who almost appeared instead of Kooky, the crazy gamer on the podcast.
Hey!
Hey!
Cassive Mock, Rabid Zombies, I don't like this at all. McCaffrey is boring. That's not right.
That's mean.
He's a nice man.
That's probably Ryan McCaffrey who signed up with that.
Hey! Fungul. Fucking love it. Thank you. Ninja Squirrel, Jackson Man 07, Electro Freeze, CL Styrens. I apologize, I'm not saying that right. Black Sheep Boy, Greaser Lee, whose non-gaming interest was photography, and he posted some pictures to prove it. And my favorite, Brett's a Bitch 22. Oh no, but we also had an article on the live site where you can comment underneath, and I don't know if King Emon is part of our forums, but his non-gaming hobby, he lists as, I enjoy wearing a monocle in public. I like that. That is a great hobby.
Did he win?
Yeah.
That sounds great.
He won. There's your win noise. Who wants to guess question 35 for this week? Don't bother, because I told most of you.
I don't know.
What game do you go back and play the most? Either as a comfort game, or as I know for a while when I hated the current release of PlayStation 2 launch games. Like, why am I still playing games? Then I'd have to go remind myself. And, mine, I have a bunch. I've mentioned them 1,000 times on the forum. Mega Man 2, obviously. Cobra Triangle is fantastic to go back to, but only because I've never gone back in the emulated version. I went back on my NES cart, which never worked, so it was always a gamble. You play for hours, it dies, the screen turns green for no reason, and you just start over again 4 months from then. Mario 2. For some reason, I have to go finish Mario 2 once a year.
Wow.
Using warps, just blow through it.
I have a few.
Dr. Mario. Sorry.
No, actually, that's my mom's favorite.
It's mine. I had to add that.
It's mine's WWF No Mercy.
WWF?
Yeah, this
what
was
is
before
that?
The change.
It was, World Wildlife.
It was made
World
by
Wildlife
the World
Federation.
Wildlife Federation. Yeah, they have no mercy for
no mercy on pandas.
No, you can hit them with bamboo though.
Yes.
Panda suplex.
I played through it a ton the first time, but mostly as a multiplayer thing with my friends. Then I stopped playing it, and I was just like, I bought it on eBay, and I started playing through single player mode to open up every pathway in every title, like playing it over and over and over again. And then I stopped after like 4 months of that. Then I stopped again. And then by the end of that year, I pulled it up again to try to recreate every wrestler in ECW who wasn't in it. So I went back to that one up like many times for about 3 years. And another one I consistently go back to is Advance Wars Dual Strike. I played that one on and off a lot.
So difficult. I can imagine myself going back.
No, Dual Strike is not. No. Advance Wars 2 is really hard. Dual Strike is.
Dualable.
And yeah, I guess Mario 3. No, not Mario 3. Donkey Kong 94 or Donkey Kong for the Game Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Game Boy. I play that one many, many times.
Mine's just Tetris.
Tetris.
Yeah.
The unavoidable game.
I can always go back and play that. I've probably logged more play sessions with Tetris than with any other game.
You're probably 8 months out from playing Tetris on Games Radar as you read our article.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Tetris is probably so omnipresent.
I used to play it in college, actually. Like, I thought of it as digital caffeine. It's like, it's 4 a.m. I'm in the middle of a paper. I'm flagging quickly. I need to wake myself up. So I play Tetris, and I'd like feel alert for another 5 minutes.
More respectable than solitaire.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that's like it's instantly addictive. I can always fall back.
Not really. You mean old Michael Rapara's game?
I'm pretty flighty when it comes to games.
Oh, yeah. Michael is.
I have a huge stack of games I've never finished and a bigger one that I've never played.
Michael is a man who tries. I want to say you try and play everything. It's not an issue of just buying everything.
Yeah, I do try.
Had her fun.
It's important to have a pretty diverse range of experiences in this job.
The game I go back and play the most is probably either whatever SmackDown is out at the time, just because it's so easy to fall into that game and just play, or the Twin Snakes.
Yeah, brother.
I on GameCube, but I play it on the Wii. I tell Chris, like, every other day, whatever old game I'm playing, because I can never get through new games, and I didn't tell him about the Twin Snakes, because I feel like that game is so old that I shouldn't be playing it.
Why Twin Snakes over the original MGS?
Because the original one looks like ass now. PlayStation 1 doesn't hold up as well now, even though I love the cutscenes in that better than the crazy-ass Matrix fighting in the Twin Snakes.
What if, you play the original with Bleemcast?
It did clean it up a little, yeah. That was my birthday present.
What about Bleemcast?
There you go.
What about it?
What about it?
They got sued pretty quickly into
that's true.
Down.
Log on to go to GamesRadar.com. You can write a comment on the page about the question of the week or comment in the forums. I prefer the forums because I hate Tyler Wilde and he handles the main page. Just kidding. No more drama. We're not canceled. Oh, that about does it for Talk Radar 50. It was a pleasure serving you guys. But before we go, we're going to plug stuff. I really, really want to plug the Twitter, the Games Radar Twitter, twitter.com/GamesRadar. We're going to have some cool stuff going up. Relating to Twitter during E3, mm-hmm. where you can hopefully I don't want to give it away just yet. There's so many like already E3 promotions that already resemble one another from all the other outlets.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So I don't want to give it away entirely.
Give it away now.
No! Oh, yeah.
Get up on that page and start twatting.
I'll give it to your mama. Also, I think I'm going to give away a Blu-ray via the Twitter, so keep looking at that.
What bad movie do you guys
see?
Hey,
hey, no, it's fantastic. And it may come with glasses.
Ooh.
Hold on, I'll get a little ta-da there.
Chris's and glasses.
Autograph.
Yes.
Groucho Marx glasses. Yeah, next week, I don't really know what I have going on, but I guarantee something you'll probably hear my voice on this year cast. What else?
I have to take some time off. Apparently, it was about some ethnic slur I wrote on the wall. People all blew it out
in
of proportion.
10-foot-high letters.
Yeah. People all blew it out of proportion, but I guess I gotta talk to some people.
Did you mean to write Dayglow? I wasn't offended.
What could it be? Post in the forums now.
What could it be?
Yeah, I read that as Dayglow go home.
I do hate ravers.
What you got going on, Chocolate Shane?
I have a Terminator feature because next week there is a Terminator movie coming out. So if you like the Terminator movies and or video games, read about it. Plus, I have an article about a secret Nintendo game I saw.
Woo!
Before E3, they showed me this secret game. I went down to Nintendo the other day and I saw it. And yeah, I'm going to have something written.
I would like
it.
To say I tried to leak something relating to this months ago on the podcast to see if anyone cared. No one did.
Yep.
So don't go looking for clues. How about that?
Yeah.
Wait.
We'll get in trouble. Michael, what you got?
I have next week's top 7, which is going to involve burning and explosions.
Woo!
And RPGs. Not the explosive kind, the game kind.
Okay. Okay.
I also have the review of Infamous for PS3, which is supposed to go up sometime next week.
Woo! I have a feeling it'll be lower than what you've been seeing.
No comment.
I know. And I will be editing this podcast, which you can't really hear right now, crashed completely last night. It's been part of a 24-hour process just to record. So hopefully it comes out okay, and I look forward to another year of no sleep. Thankless job.
It's all for you, listeners.
This podcast, peoples. We love you. We do it for you. Somebody take us out.
Hey! See you later!
Thank you, Coopy.
Thanks, Coopy.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen a real dinosaur? Of course you haven't. And you never will. Fact. That's because they never existed. And science is a lie. I mean, have you actually ever seen a sperm? We've all tried. All you have to do is read and understand the Epsilon Tract, and the secrets of the universe will be open to you. This is a life-altering experience. All your mortal fears will be at ease. The Epsilon Program. This time, God, it's personal.